Hi, DXers. Phil Wayne here for Market Scope, a monthly peek at radio from wherever NRC and DX Audio Service members are located. This month, Mike Terry takes us FM band scanning from the south coast of England.
Well, hello, this is Mike Terry recording in Bournemouth, England on Tuesday, the 23rd of October, and the time is 9:30 in the morning. Well, I've been asked to prepare this tape, a band scan of FM stations in the area that I live, Bournemouth, which is about 30 miles from Southampton, along the south coast of England.
Angel of Harlem. They were going to sing about their own home city, but Angel of Falls Bridge doesn't have quite the same ring to it, you know. Oh, I don't know. 26 minutes to 10, good morning. Loads of it here between now and midday, including Popmaster again. Somebody won a radio. Could be you today. All you have to do is phone now, 0500 288 291. Ring the number, and you could be one of our contestants today, winning a radio or less. As well as that, Narina Palo chooses the tracks of her years. Usual other things, including an album of the week and yet another exclusive play. Can you have two exclusives in the course of the week? Of course you can, because we're playing a different track. That's our excuse for it anyway. Another exclusive track from Michael Jackson's new album, Invincible.
We start off on 88.5 with BBC Radio 2, national channel, middle of the road, 24 hour a day music station. That transmitter is on the Isle of Wight, and it's a power of 250 kilowatts.
It was more successful, though, in another area of music theatre, the ballet. Dame Ninette de Valois, no less, described Arnold as the finest ballet composer since Tchaikovsky. The first of the four ballets he'd eventually composed for Covent Garden came in Coronation Year.
On 90.7, BBC Radio 3, which is the National Classical Music Channel, some discussion programmes as well, and that's also from the transmitter at Roebridge on the Isle of Wight.
At 9:30. On Longwave now, it's time for the Daily Service, which is led by Claire Campbell-Smith. This is Radio 4 on 92 to 95 FM, where it's time now for Book of the Week. Maureen O'Brien reads the second extract of Margaret...
Yes, Radio 4, which is on 92.9.
As part of their 70th birthday celebrations, Weymouth Drama Club are putting on Blythe Spirit at the Pavilion Theatre in Weymouth from Thursday until Saturday. And the Bishop Waltham and Meon Valley Citizens Advice Bureau are launching a new outreach post on Thursday at the Wickham Community Centre in Mill Lane, Wickham.
Well, you've still got it then. You've got one of Joe's sisters. I need 12 with an N in it, and I need the name of the halo surrounding the heads of divine or sacred personages in...
Well, that was BBC local radio station, Radio Solent, which is based in Southampton. You're listening there to the 10-kilowatt transmitter on 96.1. There's also a half-kilowatt transmitter on 103.8, which is... more west, down towards Dorchester. The signal tends to fade out about 20 miles west of where I live, and then we switch to 103.8. They also have two AM frequencies, and on Saturdays when they relay soccer, I say soccer for the benefit of our American friends, what we call football commentaries, we have three local teams, Portsmouth, Southampton and Bournemouth, and they split frequencies three ways to bring live full match commentaries of those, and indeed during the week when they're evening matches, which is quite a wonderful achievement. And Radio Solent actually won an award as being one of the best local radio stations in the country.
Thank you.
Anthony, you're a star. Have a good time with your dad tonight. See Superman Lovers featuring Manny Hoffman. Lovely little tune. Joe Wiley's here in 8 minutes time. Hold on, you can do it. She's joined by Andrew WK.
Well, that's BBC Radio 1 on 98.2, again from the Isle of Wight. All of these national stations broadcast on various frequencies across the country. Radio 1 was started in 1967 in an attempt to replace the offshore radio stations that were very, very popular in this country. People of my age who remember the offshore stations never really liked Radio 1 because it tried to be something that the offshore stations were very good at. However, Radio 1 is popular, but in fact Radio 2 is the most popular of the BBC radio stations, probably reflecting the fact that the average age of the population is what one would call middle age, 30, 40-ish. Indeed, dare I say 50-ish. Well, now we have Classic FM on 100.3, as the name suggests, a classical music station, which is a national station, very, very popular indeed, and a commercial station. And I'll get the 10 o'clock ID on this for you.
Here's an offer. Give me a moment of your time, and I promise not to change your life. You may have heard lots of talk recently about digital radio. In fact, Classic FM is already broadcasting all its programs on this new digital radio. Digital is going to mean basically better sound quality. In fact, fantastic sound quality. No hiss, no fuzz, no crackle, all that sort of thing. It's the next step, a bit like the way we all changed to FM in the 80s. It's the future of radio. Be assured, however, that we are continuing to broadcast on FM2, which is most probably what you're listening to me on now. So there you have it, Classic FM and digital radio.
Tomorrow's wireless.
Weekday mornings. Henry Kelly on Classic FM.
And a very good morning to you. No luck with the horse yesterday. Ran a decent old race, but made a mistake at the third last, and that was curtains for it. Anyway, we'll try again at 20 past 10, and we shall continue with our record of the week, a music which John Williams has written for the movie Harry Potter, and we have 10 Harry Potter CDs to give away. News about that between now and 11 on Classic FM.
Classic FM News, it's 10 o'clock, I'm Paul Osborne.
And Classic FM broadcasts nationwide with a variety of transmitters, that particular one again from Roebridge on the Isle of Wight, 125 kilowatts.
105 weather with Whiteley Village Outlet. 100% designer, up to 50% off, whatever the weather.
Bright with sunny spells today, but the risk of scattered showers creeping in later, especially along the coast, top temperatures reaching 17 and 63. It's 16 in Southampton, 15 in Wimborne. I'm Fiona Brooks with the South Essential News and Information. This is Wave 105.
Well, that's Wave 105.8, who are a, what I suppose you'd call a regional commercial station. They're based in Fareham, which is near Portsmouth. They also have a transmitter on 105.2, and it's sort of middle of the road, adult contemporary music, plus lifestyle and entertainment news.
Ultra free today's hit music for Bournemouth and Paul. FM 107.6 The Fire. Blue on the way in a second. Entrance coming up and Liberty. This is Eve and Gwen. Let me blow your mind. You're on fire.
Yo, drop your glasses.
That's The Fire on 107.6 with 1/10 of a kilowatt. It's a local station here in Bournemouth. There's another local station called 2CR, which I haven't put on this particular extract. And that gets us to the end of the dial. Now, you may have the impression that there are very few FM stations to be heard in this area, but that is not the case. What I've given you there are the high-power or well-received stations at my location with no particular aerial arrangement. If you wanted to pick up longer-distance FM stations, it's quite possible, and indeed in the summer there are lifts to the continent, quite usual to pick up French stations, particularly at certain locations along the coast, up high on the clifftops. There is regular transmissions from France, also from the Channel Islands, which are some islands that are English but are off the coast of France, and indeed you can get lifts of signals from Germany, Belgium, Italy, Spain, North Africa, etc. many, many FM signals to be heard, particularly in periods of high pressure, which is usually in the summer. Well, I think I've covered enough there in the time I assume I've been given. I wasn't sure how long to spend. Hopefully that is of interest, and indeed, if you wish to hear more from the UK, then I, either myself or another member of the British Jets Club, I'm sure, will be pleased to put together a little tape for you. All the best to our friends around the world, particularly in America, at this particular time of concern in world affairs. Here's to a happy, peaceful future. Cheerio from Bournemouth, from Mike. Bye.
Thanks, Mike, for your most interesting look at South Coast FMs, as well as your wishes for world peace. Everyone have a great new year. See you next month with more radio from the United Kingdom.
This is Musings of the Members. The opinions are those of the speaker and do not represent the DX Audio Service, the National Radio Club, or its entities. Members may muse by calling the action line. The music. Music all the
way. Hello, fellow DXers. This is Wayne Ryan in Brantford, Ontario. I want to say a word of thanks to Ernie Wislowski for sending a tape up here to a friend of mine and allowing me to listen to it also. That was a wonderful act of kindness on your part. Bremner Lewis Station, WXRL, Lancaster, New York, 1300, has its 5,000-watt transmitter operating at least part-time now, and it'll soon be operating full-time. Recently, I've had some luck with DXing. On a Saturday in the middle of November, well, it was Saturday the 10th, on 1500, I picked up a station in New Jersey between 4:30 and 5 o'clock that afternoon, and they were talking about the high school football playoffs in the state of New Jersey. I wasn't able to get an ID on it. On 1490, there was some really good country music coming on some station, too, that I didn't get an ID on either. And another day, in just this last week, which would have been the 15th, I received on 1370 and 1390, I was getting some stations around 4 o'clock in the afternoon surrounding CKPC 1380, our local station here in Brantford. On 1370, I'm guessing it must have been either a station in a little town outside of Erie, Pennsylvania, or WSAY in Rochester. And on 1390, it would probably have been Youngstown, Ohio, or possibly Rochester, New York. There were some aurora effects a couple of nights here that caused some reception to not be very good, but the Skywave has been quite good most nights recently. Also, I think I've got some answers to some questions I asked earlier. On 680, I think that station in Binghamton, New York is the country one, thanks to John Bowker for his 680 travelogue. And I've had some others, too. 1250, York, Pennsylvania, I think, was the one that I've had playing some pretty good country music at different times. And we thank the fellow in Harrisburg for his market scope on that.
This is Russell Fry in Indianapolis, Indiana. And on Monday, November the 19th, 93.9, which for the last 4 years or so was the Bear, a country station owned by Susquehanna, to go along with their major country station, WFMS. They changed the format, and I guess this is becoming more and more common all over the country. For the next 5 weeks and 2 days, they will be known as 93.9, the Christmas Channel, and they are 24-hour-a-day Christmas music. This began at midnight Monday the 19th, and we'll run into through December 25th at midnight, at which time they will go back to quote-unquote regular programming. I talked with the program director, David Wood, who programs their other two stations as well, and I asked him point-blank, will you be going back to the Bear? His response was, we will be going back to regular programming. So, it will be interesting to see what they will end up doing with the station. It is a 6,000-watt suburban station targeting Indianapolis. However, there are rumors that they have finally got all the necessary problems taken care of by buying up competition in other smaller towns and shutting them down so that they can increase the power for this station and move the transmitter in closer to Indianapolis. We'll see if that will happen. The rumors are that that they finally, after 4.5 years, have got that taken care of, and it will happen sometime early next year.
This is Tim Hendel. Regarding the C-Crane CC radio, I reviewed the CC Radio Plus, the updated version, for Playback Magazine, and that review should be appearing in the November Playback, although as I record this, I haven't gotten my November Playback yet. And while this is not a commercial, if you're not a Playback subscriber and you want to purchase that copy to hear what is decidedly one man's opinion, but still my observations of that radio, you could contact Ed Potter at 888-217-2312. Also, if anybody out there has a copy of Blind Man in the Bleachers, I maintain that's the worst song ever written about a blind person, and some of my friends don't believe that it really exists. So if you have that, please contact me at 256-512-9988.
Hi, Fred. This is Mike Lance in Miami Beach, Florida. I would like to wish everyone from the DX Audio Service a great holiday season and a joyous one, whether it be Kwanzaa, Christmas, Hanukkah. And I want to wish everyone a happy new year, and may radio in 2002 be a great year. Also, thank you so much for playing the ABC News jingle. Please play it again and let it run a little bit. I would appreciate it. I love it. It brings back a lot of memories. Now in local radio news, looks like there may be a permit on 880 kilohertz down in Homestead. I don't know who will get it or what's going to happen with that. But that's the latest for this month and the latest up to now. And let us know when next year's convention will be. I'm ready to go. And it's only the end of November.
Hello, this is Mike Blank with a few things. A couple pronunciation corrections. Somebody pronounced Leominster, Massachusetts, Leominster or something. And the town in Louisiana is pronounced Thibodeau. Even though it's a THI, it's pronounced Thibodeau. Third, in November, you did a station at the minute the initials aren't coming to me, but it's 680, and it was in Silva, but it did not identify the state. Where is Silva? Fourth, about a couple Spanish things. I'm not a Spanish speaker. Back in the 70s, when I was in Marietta, Ohio, at college, I was listening to the hockey game on WBZ on 10:30, and there was a station, I always thought it was Mexico, but might not have been, and it had a little whistle jingle. It was a lot higher than this, but it went, someone tell me where it's from. And now on 11:30, when the Rangers are on Bloomberg, WBBR, there's a Spanish station coming in. Is that from another country, or is KWKH going Spanish? Can someone tell me that?
Hello to Fred and everyone on the DX Audio Service. This is Dale Ham calling from Austin, Texas. Yeah, back in Austin. And there is a special available to all members of the National Radio Club. If y'all read anything on Popcom about the Jupiter antenna, it is available to any member of the DX Audio Service. Instead of $99, call them up on the toll-free number. You can get it for $60. Any National Radio Club member can get it for $60. If you want the additional 12 or 25-foot piece of wire that comes with it, that would be $10 more. But call the C-Crane Company if any of you are interested in that Jupiter antenna. It has 2 ferrite beads with it, and it was reviewed in the November issue of Popcom. It's just call C-Crane Company, tell them you want the National Radio Club special, and you can get it for $60.
This is Tim Hendel in Huntsville with 3 new formats that I discovered at the beginning of December, and I shall probably leave them in 2 separate messages. There's a 3rd AM Spanish station in Nashville, which I discovered yesterday. In addition to 810 and 1380, 1430 in Nashville is now Spanish. They had been
All News with a call. I think it was WMAK. They're now using WKDA, which, interestingly enough, was slated to come on the air on 1200, but I don't see anything in Nashville on 1200. 1430, WKDA, doing Spanish with Radio Unica newscasts and locally programmed Spanish music and announcements and commercials. 870 WQRS in Valley Head / Fort Payne, which, by the way, is the home of the singing group Alabama. WQRS was doing a English-language Christian format, simulcasting with a little network that seems to be mostly in Georgia and the Carolinas. Well, now they're doing Spanish. That little Christian network also has a Spanish network, and they seem to be simulcasting with some other Spanish Christian stations in the southeast. And 1660 in Warner Robins, Georgia. I think the call was WRMN, but I'm not always up on my calls. Anyway, they were doing country, simulcasting with 95 FM. They're now doing black gospel, simulcasting with a station on 1280 in Georgia, whose call I did not get yet. So if you hear gospel on 1670 instead of country, you know that you're still on Warner Robins.
This is Mike Lance on Saturday, December 15th, 2001, with a big story on 12 o'clock on December 31st, WTMI FM 93.1. After many, many years of being a classical station, from being WAFM, then WKATFM, and now WTMI, will drop its classical format. Sources tell me that WTMI will become a talk station, known as the talk of the town. This is big news in Miami radio, because for years, WTMI has been classical music, and every time they wanted to change, people fought it. But this time, Cox Broadcasting will be dropping its classical format to go talk.
Hi, Fred. This is Kevin McGill calling from Madison, Wisconsin, and just expressing my congratulations for the magazine so far. It's been a wonderful trip, and we will subscribe again. And some of my hobbies outside of radio, radio is probably one of the main ones, but my one hobby outside of that is automobiles and car-related things, especially pre-war cars. And, yeah, 40s and 50s cars are cool, too. So I decided to let you know that we will subscribe. And hope you folks are having a happy holiday season.
And that is our musings to the members on this edition of the DX Audio Service. And it's always interesting to find out a little bit about our members and what they do other than listen to radio. We'll have to get together and talk a little bit about 1950 to 53 Buick Roadmasters and some of those great classic cars. They don't make them like that anymore. Try doing a tune-up on a 2001 Buick Century. Yeah, right. If you have something on your mind, something to say, give us a call today on the Action Line. It's 419-224-1609, 24 hours a day. Our friends at NBC had a great story last week on the Today Show, and Bob Costas was doing the interview, and this featured records, which we talked about on our last edition of the DX Audio Service, about some of the hobbies. I collect old 50s, 60s, and 70s music, and these are records which I don't think too many DX Audio Service members actually listen to, but give a listen to this story.
You know, when most people hear a song on the radio they don't like, they just spin the dial, but there's one radio program with a playlist actually designed to annoy the audience.
Hello, I'm Jim Nader. Welcome to the Annoying Music Show.
The radio program that proudly claims to play the most awful music ever recorded.
Sweet Lord.
Is syndicated nationally, heard on 203 public radio stations.
It's highly illogical that this Vulcan recorded one album, but he recorded six. Mr. Spock.
I left a good job in the city.
The five-minute-long program plays only serious musical attempts, no novelties allowed. Take, for example, Bing Crosby's rendition of the Beatles' Hey Jude.
pom, 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 pom. Hey, Jude.
Or how about Tammy Faye Baker's Disco Jesus?
Jesus keeps a taking me higher and higher.
Higher and higher, higher and higher.
Host Jim Nader finds the best of the worst and brings it to his audience weekly.
And the night went to the little lamb.
Well, here he is, Jim Nader. This is a great American, my friends. Where in the world do you dig this stuff up?
It's kind of the zen of annoying music. It's resale shops, secondhand tunes. It's the search. The worst music I can find at the cheapest price.
How long has the show been on the air on NPR, and what's been the general audience reaction? I guess favorable.
It's been on NPR syndicated for about 3 years. We were local for a couple of years, and Scott Simon, who does a Saturday show on NPR, kind of discovered us. He's an old friend, and gave it some national attention. And a lot of stations ran away from us, but a few that I lied about the title picked us up.
None of these were intentionally funny. What do you think possesses the old crooner Bing Crosby, who was great in his own right, to do something like Hey Jude? Or for goodness sakes, Sebastian Cabot to cover Dylan's Like a Rolling Stone?
I think that's why the Annoying Music Show is so popular, because it crosses all lines, and usually the best annoying music are legends. It could be Bing Crosby, it could be Sebastian Cabot, it could be...
What do you got there?
Well, I was going to write this off for $1,000 with the IRS.
This is Hugh Downs.
With Hugh Downs. But I only spent $3 for it, so...
Former NBC stalwart?
Yep. Oh, I thought he worked here.
An evening with Hugh Downs. What are some of the tunes here?
He does a couple of pirate songs, and...
Who doesn't enjoy a pirate song? That's a standard. The Ride Back from Boot Hill. Lord of All Hopefulness.
Oh, wait a minute.
Yeah, two.
I forgot to give this back to you. You've been calling... this is your
Bobby Sherman's.
I know that's
Bobby Sherman's greatest hits.
Yep.
Hey, Little Woman on here, this is a fine piece of work. No, wait a minute. Let's listen, though, to what's most timely, and that is the three songs you've selected from the most annoying holiday songs ever recorded. Let's listen to this one first. Go ahead, roll it. It sounds like some sort of Japanese bluegrass attempt.
You have it. The best annoying music is when two great forms of music are combined, creating music so annoying it's dangerous. And this is a beautiful bluegrass version of Madonna. We call it Madonna's Happy Birthday Holiday because we wanted to sell the CD all year round.
Let's go to track 19 if we can. That's the rubber band version of Jingle Bells. Let's see if we have that. Kind of the rubber soul version, as it said in the graphic.
My family was very poor. We couldn't afford Christmas presents. And then when I was older, I found out we weren't poor. It was just my parents didn't want to buy me
any. They were cheap.
But it was a
good... They didn't like you.
It was a good move because I learned how to play. And actually, this is Jeff St. Pierre, who does a great job of Rubber Band Christmas.
Running short on time, but we got to get this one in. I haven't heard it, but it figures to be my favorite. Hanukkah begins on Sunday. Listen to this by Gefilte Joe and the Fish.
Once a year. And when it does, you know it's here.
You are to be congratulated for the service
you
rendered to the American listening public.
Sir.
What do you have there?
A couple of your plugs for you.
Yeah, well, thanks. Got the IFB in here already, but there we go. You know, we don't have time even to listen to Mae West with her version of Percy Sledge's When a Man Loves a Woman.
You are denying America.
Oh, man. William Shatner's Rocket Man. The Brady Bunch covering Don McLean's American Pie. More good stuff than we can jam into 5 minutes.
Great.
Where will folks pick this up?
Oh, I'm glad you asked. They can get it at Amazon.com,
right.
CD Now, and find stores if, well, actually not find stores.
Kind of low-rent stores.
But they can ask for it. And tomorrow night we have a live show in Chicago at Park West called the Annoying Music Show Holiday Show, where we've got Mitch Miller, the Annoying Music Show troupe, doing live annoying music. So if you're in Park West, or in Chicago, close to Park West. Give it a shot.
A major event, and yeah, heard around the country on NPR. Where do you want me to look? Over here? Okay, I'll look over here. It's 750, actually closer to 751, back after this.
And I have to wonder how many DX Audio Service members might have some of those in their library. As the piano plays, I'd like to thank NBC News Channel for a copy of that story. Ken Honest Chuck is in, and he's got some information for us. Let's turn the microphone over to him.
And hello this holiday season here. Ken Honest Chuck here in Joliet, Illinois. And I found this book at the library on the murder of Hogan's Heroes star Bob Crane. Hogan's Heroes came out in the mid-60s, and Bob Crane was the star of the program. And reading some of his biography, as some of the book puts in there, they give a little bit of his radio career that I was unaware of, and perhaps some of you might be interested in. So I'm going to give you a little bit of piece of it here to kind of get help things, give you a little bit of history of radio. It was in 1950, it says, when Bob got his big break. The Good Luck Drums came along. Tiny WLEA, Hornell, New York, had advertised for an announcer, and 41 applicants, all with New York experience in radio, showed up. Crane was at the end of the line, but he was the one who got the job at $37.50 a week. For a while, he endured terrible hours until he signed down with WBIS in Bristol, Connecticut. He next moved to WICC in Bridgeport, his salary now $500 a week, where he stayed there 6 years. Now, legend has it because he got the job because he was the only one who didn't drink of all the applicants. Boston's WEEI. Now, if I'm not mistaken, that was at 590 on the dial, right? They offered him a job at $700 a week, and he turned them down. He said, I was afraid I was too ambitious for Boston by then. I was auditioning for a New York station at the time, but I wound up in Hollywood. I got there as a direct result of a magazine article that mentioned the Bridgeport show and WEEI offer, so I'm grateful to Boston. Ralph Story, who had the top-rated morning show on the CBS-owned KNX in Los Angeles, quit in 1956 to host the $64,000 challenge. An executive on WCBS in New York recommended me, because the WICC program was cutting into WCBS's local ratings. Makes me wonder how they figure that one out. And they wanted me way far away. So I picked up the phone in Bridgeport and was told, this is Bob Sutton of KNX Los Angeles. How would you like to do our morning drive radio show? He accepted. He brought his wife Ann and 3 kids along to Los Angeles. Bob's quick wit, brashness, and the fact that he was a threat to WCBS's ratings weren't the only reason he won the West Coast slot. In another of the good breaks that seemed to typify his early career, Crane's audition tape was played at the wrong speed for one CBS executive, giving his voice a resonant it lacked in reality. Anyway, Bob was up against the growing popularity of Dick Whittinghill at KMPC down the street. So he hit the Los Angeles banquet circuit, making 256 personal appearances in a year and making contacts for acting jobs. Gradually, he put his signature on the morning show, a mile-a-minute collection of ad-libs and gentle put-downs. He became known as King of the L.A. Airwaves, as his ratings spiraled, so did his paycheck, until he was earning almost $100,000 a year. Bob could be testy, barking at his engineer when commercials cut into his interviews, and when he did play the spots, he ribbed the sponsors unmercifully. For example, laying in the sound of coughing over a cigarette commercial. Sponsors rarely complained. With his lampooning, Bob usually tripled the amount of airtime they paid for him. Southern Californians still remember tuning in KNX to hear Crane sing, I've got a rose between my toes from walking through the hothouse to you, pretty baby. Anyway, reporter Pete Noyes said, Bob was all around all the time. He would come over to the cafeteria, usually a bunch of machines where everyone sat down and had coffee. He was very affable. He didn't seem to have an inflated ego or anything. In those days, DJs and news anchors were just ordinary people, not impressed with themselves a lot. Bob rarely played records, sometimes cautioned, "Don't call me a disc jockey. A disc jockey gives nothing to his real self to what he does. That's not my approach at all. I'm a radio personality. My sights were in the comedy acting end of the business." And after radio, he went into acting, of course. Anyway, Gary Owens, a longtime colleague, top disc jockey, and the announcer in Laugh-In, summed up Bob. He got a big name for himself on radio on the West Coast. He used to interview stars and producers like Frank Sinatra and Otto Preminger. He is a very talented man, fine actor, and a drummer. He always wanted to be an actor as much as he wanted to be in radio. And he always said to me one time, "I want to be the next Jack Lemmon." Okay, enough of that. I want to pass on a very interesting article I found in the book, The Complete Book of Doo-Wop, I found at my library, which was copyrighted 2000. This piece is on personality DJs, which I hope you'll enjoy. Black vocal groups like the Mills Brothers and Ink Spots regularly found their way onto radio as early as the 1930s. Some even had syndicated slots on the National Red, NBC Red, of course, Blue, Mutual, and Columbia Networks. Rhythm and Blues after World War II was also on the radio, but usually second-tier stations. The difference was in the intended audience. R&B was music by blacks for blacks. There were few white listeners. The DJs that played this music sounded black, whether they were or not. Like, remember, John R. and WLAC. In order to maintain credibility with their audience and sell the offerings of their advertisers, some of these men took the high road, serving the community as role models, teachers, and others were less altruistic. At the turn of the decade, around 1951, things were kind of at an equilibrium. Blacks listened to music by blacks, white listened to music by whites, everything was fairly predictable. Then something happened. Alan Freed didn't necessarily cause what happened, but he certainly was at the right place at the right time to exert an enormous influence over what occurred. What happened was teenagers entered the mix, seeking out music that felt good to them, music that their parents neither liked nor approved of. Not just black kids, for the way society was back then, that would have been a non-event to white society. But white kids, that was something to notice. Anyway, Alan Freed started out March 1st, 1952. He produced and hosted a concert, dance called Moondog's Coronation Ball in Cleveland Arena, selling all 10,000 seats. And what a time that was in 1952 to 54 era for him. Continuing on here, after Freed left that area and went to New Jersey for one-off and sold the Newark Armory in May of 54, someone at the popular WINS New York figured that maybe Freed would earn his ticket to the big time. Freed came to WINS September of 54 for $75,000 a year and a share of the syndication purse, an enormous package for the time. He started out in a late time slot, 11 p.m. to 2 a.m., then added a show between 7 to 9 p.m., making him more accessible to teens. Everything was big in New York, the salaries, the audience, and the concert halls. Freed wasn't the only DJ to make it big, only the first. New York having the most fans and being home to trade publications like Billboard and Cashbox fostered the most intense competition. Many of the New York DJs became household names. The strongest competitors among DJs who played doo-wop in the New York arena were Tommy Dr. Jibe Smalls, Peter Tripp, Douglas Jocko Henderson. Dr. Jibe had a most popular program in the afternoon slot on WWRL and brought rhythm and blues and doo-wop review to the Ed Sullivan's Toast of the Town show. The Top 40 format was the innovation of WHB in Kansas City. WMGM in New York not only adopted its format in 1956, but appropriated one of its DJs, Peter Tripp, to try out that format in the 5-8 slot. He promptly popularized it, despite being on a station that played mostly pop and carried New York Yankees baseball. Tripp nicknamed himself the curly-headed kid in the third row and put on the first record countdown show, which was based on actual record sales. Freed also had a countdown show, but it was subjective, based on listener requests and his own preferences. Tripp's only subjectivity showed up in extras inserted between countdown entries. Jocko Henderson on WLIB in New York and WHAT Philadelphia gave the world his famous rhyming pattern, Great Gugga Mugga Shugga Bugga. It was the forerunner of modern rap music. His first concert was April 17, 1957 at Lowe's State in Manhattan. Other players on the New York scene were Phil Dr. Jive Gordon on WLIB, Willie the Mayor of Harlem Bryant and Ray Carroll on WHOM, Jack the Pear-Shaped Talker Walker on WOV, Hal Jackson, WLIB, Joe Boston, WBNX, Alan Fredericks was his night train show on WGBB, WHOM, and WADO. WLIB was far and away the most popular station of the black community during the doo-wop years. WOV offered the rather unexpected combination of rhythm and blues and Italian music, which may have something to do with the influence of black music on Italian youth, who eventually developed a distinct white group sound in the late 50s. Italian programming was mostly during the day, with rhythm and blues programming at night after 8 p.m. Buffalo had George Hound Dog Lorenz on WKBW and WBLK. Boston had Symphony Sid Torin and Ken Malden on WEZE. Pittsburgh had Porky, Platter Push, and Papa Chidwick on WAMO. New Haven had Carl Laux on WELI. Milwaukee had Chuck Dunaway on WRIT and WMIL. In Chicago, black DJs held sway. The most popular station for R&B in Chicago was WGES, then at 1390, where Al Benson, the mayor of Brownsville, reigned as king. Richard Stams, the clown prince of disc jockeys, and Sam Evans were other popular DJs on WGES. WSBC 1240 had Jack L. Cooper. McKee Fitzhugh worked at WGES, WHFC, and WOPA. Herb, the cool gent Kent, at WBEE. Los Angeles forerunners were Hunter Hancock, who worked for a series of stations beginning with KFVD in the 1940s, Art LeBeau at KGFJ, and Dick Huggy Boy Hug on KRKD. As in New York, the spoils of victory included nightclub work and other things. And to finish, syndication of radio shows was another area pioneered by Freed. While at WJW in Cleveland, Freed's show was leased to 10 other stations, which grew to more than 50 after he moved to WINS New York. Other DJs like Hunter Hancock in Los Angeles, Zenas Daddy Sears in Atlanta, Tommy Smalls in New York also had their show syndicated as early as 1954. Ironically, these R&B jocks succeeded where pop music DJs failed in earlier efforts. Their charisma, adulation, fanaticism of the teenage audience, and the fact that the shows went to teen-oriented independent radio stations as opposed to network accounts for this success. Anyway, that's a little piece of radio history I found in a library book, and I hope the holidays are good to you. Stay healthy, good DX on the radio, and I'll see you again next time with more interesting sports or radio news. Take care, friends.
WEBD, New York.
Thanks, Ken. And before we close out this edition of the DX Audio Service, I thought I might pass along some information, policy, history, and other stuff about the National Radio Club. Now, if you think that you've heard this all before, we'll see you in 30 days. Otherwise, listen up, as some things have changed. About a year ago, when I was working on the website for the National Radio Club, some of the indexes for After Dark magazines were lost. These indexes contained the information on what was on each cassette. I'm looking for some help in putting together an index of past Audio Service After Dark magazines. If anyone is interested in getting some free copies of these issues, please contact me at the address or phone number at the beginning of Side 1. If you already have these tapes and you'd just like to trade your labor in exchange for some radio station air checks, I'd be willing to do that as well. Please contact me only if you are willing to get me the information in a timely manner. A typical index reads like this. After Dark Number 6, four 90-minute cassette tapes. A look at talk radio with an article read by Fred Vobey. The 1340 kilohertz travelogue by John Bowker. Articles titled Battle of the Century and The WJY Story. An article on scanning and long-wave DXing. An article on sports on radio, and an article on the history of radio and sports. The indexes that I'm missing are for number 1, 2, 3, 5, 8, 9, 10, and 11. Again, if you'll index these tapes for me, I can get you the tapes for free. One issue per person, and as soon as you finish that one up, I can then give you another issue. Speaking of free, I'm flattered that there are so many people listening to the DX Audio Service. However, just a reminder, only paid members of the Audio Service or National Radio Club have a vote in what goes on the magazine, as well as access to the club's services. Therefore, if you're not a member and you send in a contribution or a muse and it's not presented on the magazine, don't take it personal. Members have preference. Actually, we hope that if you enjoy this magazine so much, you'll join. I had to have a chuckle last month by a muse that was phoned in by someone who obviously gets the tapes from someone else and is not a member. They called to suggest that we go to a C90 cassette tape because buying C100 tapes were costing him too much money on top of the postage. I'm amazed at the amount of hoop jumping that some people will go through just to avoid paying dues. Now, when you consider the fact that you're getting a music-grade cassette tape mailed to you via first class and you get to keep the cassette, it's actually a pretty cheap magazine. Just a reminder, when you do join or sign up another member to the DX Audio Service, always use the address that is mentioned at the beginning of this tape. Keep in mind that if you are giving a gift subscription to the DX Audio Service, that for each person that you sign up, you get 1 month added to your subscription of the DX Audio Service. Now, between October and January 1st, I offer a Christmas special whereby you get 2 months added to your subscription for each new member. But the rest of the year, 1 month per member. Speaking of subscriptions, starting off with this edition, you can purchase a subscription in a half-year block if you're tight on cash. Just take the rate, cut it in half, and you get 6 months for that price. However, due to problems associated with the two-way tape exchanges, we decided not to offer a lower rate on returning tapes each month. We did that back in the 80s, and we had well over 30% tape loss, so it was of no benefit to either the club or the members. But if you are a little short on cash, you can pay a half year on your subscription just by taking half the rate. If you have a problem with the tape, no matter if the tape broke or you just recorded over it, send it back for a replacement. We have to have a tape back to give you a new tape. Now, if you don't want to send it back, you can buy a replacement for $3 from the Publication Center. When you do send it back, please write the word replacement on the lower left-hand corner of the envelope to alert me to the problem so I can make it a priority to return your tape as soon as possible. In some cases, when I come home from work at 3 o'clock, I can copy the tape off and get it down to the post office at 4 o'clock, which I think is darn good. Now, if you don't get your DX Audio Service, I ask that you wait until the 10th of the month to ask for a new one. Before contacting me, be sure that your subscription has not run out. About half of the inquiries I receive are because someone forgets to renew their magazine. Also, if you ask for a new tape and the original does show up, please be kind enough to return it so our expenses do not go up. In the past, I've attached a business card to tapes when it's time for folks to renew their subscription. Starting with this edition, members will receive a renewal notice a month ahead of their subscription end date. The reason for this is that I'm also asking for members to give their input on what they would like to hear on the magazine. Your input is desired to keep us in touch with your needs. When you send in your renewal, kindly tell us what information is important to you and what stuff you'd like to hear that we're not featuring. Also, if you don't plan to renew, I'd like to know why. In short, as the world changes before us, we, that is the editors and myself, feel that we need to be responsive to the needs of the membership. So please let us know your thoughts. Several people have asked about this year's convention, including Mike Lancer on the Musings to the Members. And it's my understanding that the convention was supposed to be in Bath, Maine this year. However, there's a bit of a problem. Seems that the person who bid the convention is not a National Radio Club member. Therefore, we might have to have the convention in another location. If you would consider doing this year's convention in your community, why not contact Ernie Wesolowski? And Ernie's last name is spelled W-E-S-O-L-O-W-S-K-I at 13312 Westwood, that's all one word, Westwood Lane, Omaha, Nebraska, 68144-3543. Ernie can tell you all the information you need to know about putting in your bid. I also understand that 2003 is probably going to be hosted by Scott Feibusch in Rochester, New York. So we're looking for a 2002 convention location. So let's hope we get a bid this year. Otherwise, we might have to have it in Lima, and that would disappoint Ron Musco. It's something terrible, wouldn't it? You know, one of the things you can help me with is getting the name of the DX Audio Service out to more people. It seems like every time we get a new member here at the DX Audio Service, they say the same thing. Wish we knew about you 10 years ago. Well, I'd like to make 2002 the year where we get more information out to more organizations. And you can help simply by dropping me the names and the addresses of different organizations that you might subscribe to. Say it's a reading service on tape, or perhaps one of the radio reading services, Braille magazine, or perhaps something as simple as a local Lions Club. Send me as many names and addresses as you possibly can, and we'll put them on our PR list. And don't think we just might have those already, because maybe somebody else has not sent them. And before we go, a little contest. Are you ready? What DX Audio Service issue was John Bowker's name mentioned not once, not twice, but three times during a legal ID? I've got a jingle CD for two DX Audio Service members to be drawn at random if you know the correct answer. That's it. That's all. There is no more. We'll see you in 30 days with more DX stuff. Get out and support radio.
You're with WIBC, the big one. Play with music from the $1 million parade.
1070.